Let's get it started in here.
And the bass keeps running, running, and 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 running, running.
Welcome to the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine. Meet 'em, greet 'em, treat 'em, and street 'em. Today's date is October 13th, 2013, and I am here at ASAP in Seattle. I'm sitting around a table with a bunch of like-minded individuals that are very, very interested in emergency medicine, but in particular, rural emergency medicine. And that combines two of my passions. But we have some exciting news. This is a special episode of The Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine. This is an announcement. And I almost want to do the announcement myself, but I'm going to turn it over to Harry Wingate, Tripp. Tripp, can you introduce yourself and tell us what the exciting announcement is going to be?
Thank you, Ken. This is Tripp Wingate. I am the immediate past chair of the ASEP's Rural Section of Emergency Medicine. And I want to announce that we have put together a very powerful team to start a new journal in rural emergency medicine called the Journal of Rural Emergency Medicine. These articles, chapters will be put together ultimately for a textbook of rural emergency medicine. And this is going to be the voice, we hope, it'll eventually be the voice of rural emergency medicine, bring together the experience that's needed to be able to help with all those who practice on the front lines in day-to-day dealing with problems, using evidence-based medicine in a way that we like to think of as a low-tech, high-thought approach to problem solving.
Tripp, I really like that. Low-tech, high-thought. And that's what it takes to be a really good rural emergency physician, isn't it? Low-tech, high-thought?
That's right, Ken. We don't have sestamibi scans. We don't have bedside ultrasound. We don't have trauma teams. And basically, whatever comes through the door, you've got to have a plan, you've got to have a strategy, you have to have a team approach to be able to deal with that and to risk stratify patients and get them to the right place at the right time.
Listening to you, Tripp, makes me think, Mom always used to say, emerge is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
Yes, and sometimes it's not delicious. You know, you got to be able to know when to hold them, when to fold them, and when to walk away and when to run.
And you've been putting this together for a couple of years, right? You've got some interested people in writing chapters. It's finally coming to fruition now, isn't it, with this Journal of Rural Emergency Medicine?
That's correct. We have Dane Chapman, who's our chief editor. We have Chris Carpenter, one of our associate editors, and you, Ken, who graciously volunteered to be one of our associate editors, and myself. And we also have, today we have Daryl Carter, who's going to be the current chair of our section. So each one we're going to go through and talk about why. Why are we going to start this journal now, and what do we bring to the table to help make this project successful?
Well, you brought up Daryl. So Daryl, you're the chairman of the board. So let's bring up the chair of the rural section and ask Daryl, why? Why now?
Why now is probably goes back to where a lot of us started, and this is rural emergency care. I'm a rural physician. I've been practicing for some four decades in a rural community in Minnesota, and for years I was doing everything in the rural community, and about 20 years ago it sort of hit me as I became aware that the statistics of outcome, trauma outcome, stroke outcome, neonatal outcomes in our rural communities was poorer than it was in urban areas. It became obvious to me that I wasn't trained to take care of a lot of those things. The team that I had to work with, which was general nurses, other general doctors, none of us really had the capacity to take care of what was coming through our doors, the emergencies that we were experiencing. And it was at that time I sort of said to myself, there must be a better way. We need to find ways of educating the rural providers better.
Didn't you dream up a trauma program or a trauma training program to address these things?
We came up with a program that we call the Comprehensive Advanced Life Support Program. Trauma is a piece of it, but trauma only makes up maybe 5% of what we do. Major trauma is all kinds of other time-sensitive emergencies that we are involved with, be they sepsis, airway compromise, airway management problems, strokes, acute coronary syndromes. And all of these patients require rapid action, very specific types of treatment, stabilization, and in some cases, packaging and referral.
So, Darryl, are you telling us that rural physicians tend to be the ologists? You know, you're the cardiologist, the respirologist, the gastroenterologist, the pediologist. You are the ologist in that small rural emergency department.
We are, and although we have telephones and sometimes telemedicine, we must do it. If the airway is compromised, I need to be able to intubate everybody. In some way, I have to get the airway or that patient's going to be compromised or die. So out of that came a course that we call CALS, which we've been teaching throughout Minnesota and Wisconsin and is spreading out. But from there, it became obvious that we weren't reaching a lot, an awful lot of rural providers with the education that they needed. And so the proposed journal that we're talking about and ultimate textbook is another means of reaching out with some of the information, basic knowledge, basic ways of doing things, team work together, and an approach to the patient that will work repeatedly.
So we're going to use the number one tool that we have. If I can use your analogy, we're going to use high thought, the best tool we have between these 2 ears, with the low tech we may have.
And organize that in a way to meet the needs of our patients.
It starts with patient care, and it ends with patient care. And if it wasn't for patients, we wouldn't have our job.
Correct.
So you bring a lot of years and experience to this, otherwise you wouldn't end up being the chair of the rural section. So I want to skip from all of that experience and bring in Dr. Chris Carpenter, who wrote the book on evidence-based medicine. Dr. Carpenter, I think people have heard your voice before, but can you introduce yourself and tell us how you're bringing evidence-based medicine into rural practice?
Hey, Ken. I am Chris Carpenter at Washington University in St. Louis. I am director of evidence-based medicine there for the last 10 years. And as you know, one of my challenges has been to shorten that knowledge translation pipeline from 20 years down to one, the SGEM mission. And increasingly, I found working as an editor for Academic Emergency Medicine, a journal reviewer for about 10 different journals, that the authors of these manuscripts are ivory tower physicians who don't work in the rural environment. And in the rural environment, much of the care in the United States and in Canada and around the world is occurring. So the evidence may not be built for that group of physicians that we need to reach. And I don't think that the journals that exist right now are a way to get that information from the rural physicians and to the rural physicians.
Chris, I'm not just going to take your word for it. I'm going to expect a little evidence. I'm a skeptic. So you better throw some numbers at me. You're the numbers guy. You're the evidence-based medicine guy. You better hit me with some stats or I'm not going to buy it.
Well, I did look at PubMed today, and I did a search for rural and combined it with emergency medicine. And from 1966 to 2013, there's a linear increase in the number of publications that fit that rural emergency medicine rubric. Really picked up around 1990. In 1966, there were 0 publications that year. In 2013, thus far, there have been 92. So I'll break it down into the journals that we have right now. Annals of Emergency Medicine has had 76 publications since 1966. 76 publications.
So that's 2 a year, less than 2 a year.
Yeah, and they're really focused on education and workforce issues. Our clinicians out in the rural community want to know how to take care of patients. You just said it starts and ends with the patient. We want patient care related articles. How do I deal with this pathology in the rural environment with limited resources? And Annals hasn't touched that. I'm not picking on animals, though. Look at Journal of Emergency Medicine. They've had 30 publications since 1966, all of them pretty much clinically focused, but 30 spread out over that many years is not very many publications. Academic Emergency Medicine has had 49, almost all focused on education. How do you educate the medical student or the resident about rural emergency medicine issues? And then Canadian Journal of Emergency Medicine has had 19 publications in rural emergency medicine. I think there's a lot more information out there that we could learn from our rural community physicians about how to manage conditions with the rural resources that are available.
Okay, you've sold me. You've convinced me. I believe the data. There is a need. So, we've got Tripp, Daryl, and Chris here. We need a journal editor. We need someone to lead the charge. And now we have Dr. Dane Chapman. Dane, can you introduce yourself and tell us why you took on this big challenge?
Thanks, Ken. It's really good to be here, and I really appreciate the work that's been done by Tripp and Chris and you as well prior. Actually, I just came back to academic medicine after almost about 15 years of starting programs in emergency medicine, the various places, usually academic programs, the Ivory Tower programs that Chris referred to, and my background has been in education and training. Look at the ACLS program, the ATLS program. They're educational programs that have brought some technique to our practitioners and have saved lots of lives, perhaps more than we realize. But I came back to academics after six years or so of practicing in a rural environment.
You went to the ivory silos, did you?
I guess you could say that. It was time to get back to my roots. I grew up in a small town and always wanted to go back to that environment. And so I had this dream job at a rural, it was crisis access hospital as a medical director, 4,000 patient visits in the ED. And I realized that a 24-hour shift, I might make a difference in maybe a life every month or so. That the family practitioners who are the hospitalists, they were better suited for that kind of environment. And so I realized I needed a busier place to practice. And so I returned back to my hometown area in Michigan, and it was about 20 to 30,000 patient visits. Very busy, a lot of geriatric patients. Average patients over 90 many times, but it just wasn't as satisfying. I thought we need to get back into the rural environment. I felt it was time to come back to academics. But carrying with that some of the frustrations of working in a rural environment with maybe not adequate training, maybe some issues that needed to be resolved between the emergency medicine and the rural practitioner.
It sounds like you understand academic medicine. You understand rural medicine, and you understand education, a trifecta.
I guess that's true, and so what do you do with that?
You start a journal.
And that's what we did. In fact, we started a journal, and so we found this open source public knowledge project, and we were amazed at how well we could implement what we wanted to do with the journal. And so when the idea came up to start a journal to help promote the textbook project in rural emergency medicine, I thought this could be a good fit.
That's great. So I think we've got a good appreciation of why everybody's sitting around the table. Now I'm going to ask you, Dane, you're in charge of this. What do you want from people that are listening to this today?
I'd like you to get involved. If you're a rural practitioner, we need chapter writers. We need to hear your experience, and we want to provide you with the help that you need. We've outlined a prototype chapter, what you would need to start to be able to write a chapter. We have section editors that can help you develop the expertise you need to be able to write the chapter. And we're hoping that by you writing the chapter as a rural practitioner, you'll be able to appeal to the needs of other rural practitioners who practice in a similar environment as what you practice in, which is different than the ivory tower. You have limited resources, and you have to use your brain.
We're right back to where we started. High thought, low tech. And we're gonna start a journal. And that's why the theme for today's podcast was, let's get it started. And I think that's what we're gonna do today and in the future. We're gonna get it started, and we're gonna get it started with listeners like you who wanna contribute to rural emergency medicine. So if you're interested, please contact the rural section and we will make sure that we get your email and get you involved and get you all the support you need to make sure that this is a successful venture. And until next time, be skeptical of anything you learn, even if you heard it on the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine. Talk with you next time. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Let's get